right, welcome to a new episode of Ring Takes, episode 48 to be exact. Of course, I'm joined by Brian and Lewis. As always, we have a new logo. That's the first thing that I want to say. We have a new logo, finally, after a year of staggering and trying to figure out something. We finally put something together. People seem to like the black logo more over the red one. So we went with the black one. That's the red one. People did not like that red one. I don't know why. Maybe because it's a little too bright, but I don't know. I like it. I like them both, but we're going with the black for now. So we have a new logo, and that's how we're starting off this almost season two. We're a week away from – are we a week away? Yeah, we're a week away from the Royal Rumble, roughly.
Next Saturday.
This is not the picks episode. That will be coming next week. So we're still a week away from that, but I just wanted to look around at storylines heading into the Royal Rumble here. Let me put that on the scroll so it's smaller at the bottom of the screen. And there we go. Storylines heading into the Royal Rumble. Obviously, a lot of storylines branching into the Royal Rumble. Starting with the top, Drew McIntyre, Cody Rhodes, CM Punk, all these guys basically saying that they're basically heading into the Royal Rumble and that they're going to win. Drew McIntyre has basically been beefing with literally anyone and everyone on the roster. Seth Rollins, Cody Rhodes, CM Punk, and he's holed up well. What do you guys think about those guys all vying for top spots in the Royal Rumble so far?
Goes to show how deep this roster is. And I think we spoke about it weeks ago when AJ Styles came back on SmackDown. We talked about how deep the roster was. And now, and even months prior to CM Punk coming to the company, we talked about how star-studded the Royal Rumble was gonna be. And now you add it, and now Punk is back, adding him to the mix. Obviously, well, increase the Rumble to another level. But you know, you got all these guys. Once again, you talk about how deep the roster is. I mean, I know for the better part of a year we've been arguing about one guy possibly winning or not. But when you really look at it, you got all these other guys. You know, you talk about the Sami Zayns of the world, the Jey Usos of the world, some of these guys that they built up over the year, LA Knight. You know, you got a lot of options. You got a lot of viable options that you can go with for a winner. I mean, everybody's kind of focused on maybe two or three guys at this point. But when you really open up the creative book, especially now since we don't know what the current situation is with Seth Rollins. I guess apparently he banged up his knee in that title match against Jinder Mahal, because apparently he was supposed to get an MRI either yesterday or today, and apparently none of the dirt sheets can report or WWE itself has reported his current status. We're obviously wishing him the best, but even with that, now you know if he does end up missing an extended period of time and he ends up missing Mania, how that factors in. There's so many guys, so many options, and there's so much anticipation. That this arguably to me is probably one of the most anticipated Rumbles in a long time, because not only do you have the one guy that we've been arguing about for over a year what his storyline status is going to be, but the roster is so deep that even if he doesn't win it, and say a Punk or LA Knight or somebody else wins it, it'll still be exciting. Specifically focusing on Drew and his promo with Cody, talking about how he's gonna win the Rumble. I'm very curious as to how they book Drew McIntyre moving forward, because obviously as far as winning the Rumble goes, I don't think that's in the cards for him. I can only assume that maybe this Rumble win either sets up his hiatus per se to go back overseas and visit his family, as the reports have said. Or the Rumble is going to set up his next story. But the back and forth with him and Cody, pretty much leading to Cody stating, "Oh, last time we fought, which was on the Independence, who won?" with Cody walking out, and pretty much how Drew's been telling the same story amongst all his promos, telling the truth. But Yeah, but I'm curious about Drew moving forward and how the Rumble ties into that. But other than that, the Rumble is the most exciting Rumble that we've had in a while because I know for a fact we weren't as excited last year. I think last year we kind of all kind of figured it out that Cody Rhodes was coming back and he was gonna be the one.
They messed that up, and I don't know. I don't know if that was Vince or whoever it was, but it's like they should have never announced that he was coming back. They should have kept that quiet and just kept it as a surprise. We knew he was coming back. We knew that was happening. But in what number, when he was coming in, they kind of gave it away when they did that little announcement and trailer and stuff that they did for Cody coming back. So it's like, hopefully they don't do that again. They've been better keeping things under wrap this year, so hopefully they continue with that.
Yeah. Definitely. Yeah, to think that like you have the biggest person coming into the company, you really couldn't just keep it quiet for like the Rumble. Like, I don't know. I mean, I'm sure we all remember how big of a pop it was with Edge coming back, and that was like huge. At least that still lives in my memory. Like that return was ridiculous.
Yeah, yeah.
Or how huge it was. And I honestly don't even remember how much they were reporting out or confirming that he was actually going to be back or not. I think it was a lot of speculation.
Sorry to cut you off, Lewis, but specifically with Edge, I think like somebody had tweeted something at him asking if he was going to be in it, and like I think he either tweeted out a photo of him at home or he pretty much just did it's whatever he said he confirmed he tried to do it. He tried to confirm that he wasn't going to be there. And I think everybody believed him until his music. Yeah.
That sounds like they should have easily done that with Cody, but whatever. Mm-hmm. Like Brian said, I mean, this Rumble, I think what might throw a monkey wrench, because I think I was more convinced that just because, like I've been saying the past year, I don't think Cody's winning the Rumble again. Mm-hmm. But with Punk coming back, I feel like that's just like the easy setup for him and Rollins. But if Rollins is legitimately hurt, that's another huge factor. You know, more so a monkey wrench that could, you know, what do they do? Does he vacate the title? Is the title not even?
Whoa. If a bad back for 5 months isn't going to make him vacate the title, a little knee injury should be a walk in the park for Seth Rollins.
I think you know what a work is, Dan. I think you know what a work is.
I mean, he did finish the match, so maybe that does.
That's why I didn't think it was really like an injury. I'm like, I thought they were just saying it like they said it in the match.
Because if it was like really, really serious and like he couldn't move on it or something, then... They probably could have did like a little schmoz, like a roll up finish or something, but they actually went through with the
finish.
Yeah. So that's why I'm like, if he is legitimately injured and either has to vacate the title, what is that like? Do they set up another tournament, or do they change up all the plans? Is Punk gonna go after Roman? Or, I don't know. It's just like there is so many things that they can do at this point. It's like, who knows? Even like The Rock could show up and be at the Rumble. It's like they've hinted at so many things. There's not a clear cut like it was last year. We're like, okay, we know who's going to win. Mm-hmm. For me, it was like, well, it's Punk. But if that's a thing, I don't know. There's just so many avenues right now. Like, I think with like Brian said, there is like a few, like probably three or four people that, you know, I think it's like Punk. I don't know, probably Dan can attest to this. Like Drew, I think, is either on just like getting a break or it's still contract stuff that he's just not getting that win yet. But then you got stuff like, well, I guess I was going to say AJ, but I was like, he's not even in the Rumble. but I think what Brian said was good. It was like, you know, you still got the Sami Zayns, the Jays, which, you know, would be a nice, you know, swerve where you're like, oh shit, like, Jey Uso, you know, wins the Rumble or something like that, but it's like
continuing the bloodline story.
I would not be opposed to that. I would not, but I still want Cody to finish the story, but and who knows? Hey, if they actually do give this man the Rumble win two times, I think this is kind of over. Jericho, but I don't know. I digress.
I mean, he would have to go through, again, just looking at the CM Punk, Drew McIntyre, fucking Jimmy and Jey Uso, LA Knight. Well, LA Knight's not in it. Fucking Gunther's are going to be in it.
Is he not going to be in it?
Who?
Gunther?
No, he's going to be in it. It's okay. Gunther, so yeah, they get into it too. But it's just like, that's already stacked already. And then you got all the maybe return surprises of Sammy, fucking Brock Lesnar probably could make an appearance. We've been, you just mentioned The Rock could make an appearance. Like, that would just be insane if they did that. Yeah. If they did all of that. So it's just, if
The Rock came back and won the Rumble, Cody's not getting Roman this year. I can see that easily not happening.
No, that's not happening. No. If the Rock is in the Rumble, that changes everything. Because it's like, again, unless they're just trying to make Cody Rhodes' story like the greatest story of all time and have him eliminate the Rock too now. And he eliminates all these people, like, that's the only way that I see him winning the Rumble in that point. Like, if he does that, then it's like, okay, he's going to WrestleMania. But it's like, if The Rock is in it in a prominent position, like number 30, like, Jesus Christ. Like, if WWE pulls that out the hat, like, The Rock is the trump card in all of this. If he actually enters the Rumble, I think that would be dope. Like,
yeah,
monumental, because The Rock hasn't been in a Rumble since, what, 2000?
Yeah, it's been a while. I think, what, 2003 maybe?
Yeah, it's been a while. So that's
Well, actually, last time he made an appearance, well, he wasn't in the Rumble, but he made an appearance.
Yeah, it was 15. Well,
yeah. Well, I mean, it didn't do anybody any favors, but it was still an appearance.
You didn't like him helping out Roman Reigns win the Rumble? No?
Nobody did.
No.
That's the one time where the fans were literally like, oh, we see right through.
They're like, boo this man. Boom.
You see right through the bullshit. It's not helping.
No, that was pretty bad. But
that's the one time where like a legit defense said, we see right through the bullshit.
Like, nah.
Wasn't there somebody we all wanted to win that year?
It's probably Daniel Bryan.
Yeah, that was the year Daniel Bryan was in it, but he got eliminated early.
And then was that
the Mania
with him,
where he won the title in New Orleans?
No, that was the year before. Yeah. That's when he wasn't even in the Rumble, and then Rey Mysterio came out last.
Yeah, which is surprising. That appearance was actually the last appearance of CM Punk in WWE before he came back recently. So.
Yeah, that's the crazy part about it. But then just looking at the rest of it is just looking at Seth Rollins. Up until today, he doesn't have a match on the card. Like, Roman's was already set like 2 weeks ago. Seth doesn't have a challenger. So that's the weird thing of not having him have a challenger. There's really no other matches. There's the women's, the men's Royal Rumble, and then they have the Fatal 4-Way, and then I believe there's the U.S. title. Those are the only matches that are on the card. So it's like, unless this Rumble is going to be an hour and a half long, I don't know what they're doing.
I think they're probably going to add like one or two more matches. Probably from the Raw side.
I'm wondering if they're going to add the tag titles in a match.
They should.
I mean, they could do DIY versus the Judgment Day, since they've been building that on TV.
Yeah, they should be doing that. Mm-hmm. They should be doing it. But yeah, just looking that there's not really much of a setup here. It's just mainly the Rumble. And then even from the SmackDown side, on the Raw side, there's been a lot of talk of the Royal Rumble. But on the SmackDown side, outside of Bayley and Bianca declaring for the Women's Rumble, there hasn't been real much talk about
people
competing for the Rumble. Like, that hasn't been a storyline on SmackDown.
The only one that comes to mind is Bobby, but that got kind of overshadowed with the whole
the New Testament. And their last promo on SmackDown. So, I mean, that's dope, because I like that they're actually doing something with Karrion Kross. Finally. And they put him with the Authors of Pain. It's like, it gives him a new look, gives him a new element to that, going in that direction. And against the Hurt Business, who is now a babyface team, sealed, signed, delivered. It's going to be interesting to see what they do, see how much interaction they have in the Rumble. mm-hmm. and then see how much interaction they have going forward. Because it's like, that should be a feud that carries up until WrestleMania. That should be something that continues up until that point.
I don't know. I feel like this with that group, I feel like it was a missed opportunity. I feel like they should have been straight up heels in the beginning. Because they've been losing. I feel like, I mean, I guess they've been winning, but I don't know. They're just not.
It's not a consistent.
They haven't looked strong. I think that's the word I'm looking for. They haven't been looking strong.
No, they haven't. It hasn't been booked.
That's the issue where it's like, and again, I was arguing with somebody online about Bianca Belair, because they were saying she was stale. And I'm like, the only reason why she's stale is because she hasn't turned heel yet. In her her main roster career, she hasn't turned heel. She was a tweener on NXT and stuff like that, mm-hmm. but she hasn't been a heel. So I'm like, right now, they're not going to do that because they have the show coming out with her and Montez on Hulu. Mm-hmm. And I'm like, that's probably why the Hurt Business was made babyface, because now they're going to have a TV show that's coming out. And it's like, it shouldn't.
I don't think that dictates it, because, I mean, you have Miz and Mrs., and like, he's always been.
But the Miz was always that guy, though.
I don't think having a show dictates whether you're a babyface or a heel, you know?
I think he was a media guy before WWE. I still watch The Challenge. That's my show. Yeah.
The Challenge.
Shameless MTV 2 plug.
Yeah, exactly. Well, no, it's still as good as it used to be back in the day.
Oh, God. Oh, man.
I could never keep up with those shows.
So he's always been that media guy anyway. I mean, he's a character of itself. I mean, he came up with The Miz on The Challenge in the real world. So he's always have been that character. So even though he still portrays a heel, it was easy to put the show around him. I think because Bianca and Montez are more known just for their athleticism and everything, and less about, you know, the media aspect of it. You kind of have to do that because you're introducing them to a brand new audience. So I guess that's why I was like
they have to be baby faces right now to promote that show in a positive light. I don't think they're gonna put them as heels beating down people and then have them smiling on TV on their show.
That's the thing. That's how they started off, as they were beating down the LWO and stuff. And it was like, okay, so they are heels. And now it's like,
you want to know what's happening? There's no tag team titles for SmackDown. So the long ever curse of the tag team titles being on.
You know what? You might as well just get rid of the tag titles at this point. I don't even want to see them anymore. Unless they're new belts, just throw them in the trash.
Remember when WWE first did that and got rid of the tag team titles and how bad that was?
My God.
You just had a bunch of tag teams just like,
it's crazy. That's literally what it feels like right now. Like, when was the last time we saw the tag titles on SmackDown?
What was that Judgment Day going to?
I'm trying to think.
Say the last year.
At some point at the tail end of last year, I guess.
But it's just like, looking at it from that standpoint of them not being heels, when it's like they should be heels, but then they were getting cheered when they went to they did the tribute to the troops show, and Bobby Lashley and Montez have service, and it's like, that was the worst thing they could have done in terms of if they were going to be heels.
Because I mean, they're highlighting everybody.
I get what you're saying, Daniel. But in that specific case, I mean, it's tribute to the troops.
At that point, the heel factor doesn't really play in.
You can't make hometown heroes, United States heroes, be heels at that point. Like, you can't. Unless they're going to do the whole
Sergeant. Public information, you can look it up. Bobby Lashley.
Yeah, but unless you're going to do like Sergeant, unless you're going to do like the Sergeant Slaughter gimmick from like 1991 when he joins up with Anon and them, and he's a sympathizer. Like, that's not happening. They're going to be heels. But yeah, we got Logan Paul versus Kevin Owens, and that's been building. And Kevin and Logan Paul's doing his usual promo stuff, but it's like, I just want to see Kevin Owens like punch him in the face again, like all the time now. And I guess Logan Paul, for whatever reason, despite him being as good as he is in WWE and as good as he is in the ring, it's like, I still want to see him lose. And Kevin Owens, unfortunately, I don't know if that's going to happen with Kevin Owens. I mean, I think he's going to be the foil in that.
Yeah. I feel like he's just going to really make him look good.
Yeah. I mean, that's pretty much what all those matches were. The Rey Mysterio match was that. the matches with The Miz, but he's been awesome. So I think Kevin Owens is a different element because he really hasn't faced a bruiser of that type as yet in the ring and stuff like that with Kevin Owens. So hopefully Kevin Owens can do some cool stuff with him and interesting stuff that gets us to be like, oh shit, at the Royal Rumble, because I'm definitely, there's definitely going to be a table spot or something, and hopefully Logan Paul doesn't tear his knee or shoulder
allegedly
or something to go wrong on that. But looking at the standpoint of the Bloodline getting their comeuppance on SmackDown there a little bit, Nick Aldis kind of sticking it to Paul Heyman, right? Like, we haven't seen that in a long time where somebody
liking his character. I'm really liking his character.
I don't know about you guys, but they're making it painfully, to me, they're making it painfully obvious that Nick Aldis is going to get into the ring this year. It may even be sooner than later because
I could even see him going up against Roman at this point, because of the way he's been confronting him and like, I make the rules. He's like, no, you don't, I do. Like,
his character, because we haven't had that type of
authority
like Adam Pearce is kind of like the person who plays mediator. He kind of works things out. He's kind of getting annoyed by Chelsea Green and other people and stuff like that, but it never seemed like he was in control of everything, right? Like, it always seemed like he was battling people and stuff like that. With Nick Aldis, it's like, nope, I'm doing this. You're doing this. I'm not listening to you. Like,
exactly. And for guys like us, it's believable because we know who Nick Aldis is. We know Magnus and TNA, Nick Aldis and NWA. So when he portrays that character work, you know, it's believable because we know that in ring wise, they
are. Yeah, and he's also not a small dude either. He's not a Teddy Long or Eric Bischoff. The man's like full blown suit, like 6-something. You're like, oh, he can stand toe to toe with Roman right now.
Like, he just stopped wrestling like last year, so like a couple months ago, literally before he got the SmackDown general manager job. So I like his character a lot. It's going to be interesting to see what he does going forward with like the Bloodline and stuff like that. Because when's the last time you've seen the heels put in a handicap match? Probably the Attitude Era. it doesn't happen. Like, that doesn't happen like that. So to see that, him take that step up and do that, that was interesting to see that. Looking around here, the women's division picking up, the tag team division picking up, actually having some matches. Piper Niven and Chelsea Green ended up in the loss there against
Indy Hartwell. They did a promo package for as a team to show their history as a team and to show why they're together. For once, actually taking a team and they're actually a legit team. They were a legit team in NXT. I mean, in one of their best stables. I actually liked the way when they were stable. So now they're actually finally putting some legitimacy behind some of these teams and actually showing why they're together and everything. So
absolutely, and I feel like that's a good thing. And I like both of them. And they've been trying to figure out what to do.
The thing I didn't like was the fact that it was before the match before the main event, the tag team match with the Shayna Baszler, Zoe Stark against
Natalya and Tegan
Knox. Because first of all, I could have sworn we saw that match like two or three weeks ago.
And those two specific
teams, like, I still don't understand. I still don't know why Natalya and Tegan Knox are together.
Nope.
I think the story was when Tegan Knox was getting bullied backstage, and Natalya came to her aid. I don't even know how that
story. Natalya was the one who was bullying her first.
Or was vice versa. Natalya was the one getting bullied, and Tegan Knox came to her aid. I don't know. At least from a character standpoint, Shayna and Zoe being together makes sense from a character standpoint. Mm-hmm. But
I mean, Tegan Knox and Natalya, that's basically just to give the newcomer a rub. She's going to turn on Natalya at some point.
I don't think she's turning. I think Natalya's going to turn on her, if anything.
Either way, but it's to get – it's the Cody Rhodes hardcore Holly type thing. You're with the veteran. Mm-hmm. I don't know at some point if they're going to win the titles or not or whatever the transgression that is. But they were put together to break up to give Tegan Knox some character eventually down the line.
Hopefully.
Also, Ludwig Kaiser. Mean Streak getting a singles push a little bit since Vinci has been down.
I like it.
Against Xavier Woods after he just battled Kofi Kingston after throwing a freaking computer chair in his face. So Xavier Woods showing some heart in that as well. So I thought that was a good showing from both of them. And giving the mid-card a little bit of a push there. And what do you guys think about the interaction with potentially Jey Uso going up against Ludwig Kaiser and potentially being in the running for Intercontinental title shot? Because I think that's where they're going with that. With Jey Uso.
I think that'd be I think it'd be a good stepping stone for Jey to get, but does he necessarily need it? I feel like, I mean, he's hot. He's obviously still very hot right now and everything, and gets the pop and everything. I think him and Gunther would definitely have some great matches. Yeah, I honestly wouldn't be against him actually being the one to just in terms of like kind of giving them something to do while the whole Roman thing and everything is still bloodline thing is still going on, and now that he's on Raw,
he doesn't need it per se, but
it'll elevate him.
Yeah, no, it'll definitely elevate him. And you know, I think months prior when they were putting together this WrestleMania card from the very beginning, I think they had predicted that they were going to do this brother versus brother match with Jimmy and Jey. So if you need a reason for Jey to want to go after Jimmy, this would be the perfect reason to cost him the Intercontinental title. That's standpoint. I mean, that would be a perfect way to.
That would be a good story.
Because right now, you still have, you know, Jay's away from the bloodline, but they haven't interacted since that SmackDown where Cody and Roman had the face to face.
Yeah, they stood off. Yeah,
back in November, so they haven't had any interaction. So you can't just go into the brother versus brother match based upon the bloodline storyline. You kind of need like a heater to reheat things again. And that would be the perfect reason to go after his brother. It's like costing him an Intercontinental title match now.
But how could this happen? There's a brand split.
Oh, the brand split has been broken.
You can explain that by saying Roman Reigns does what the fuck he wants. You can explain that away easy.
Why would Jimmy be on Raw and sent
Jimmy on a mission on another mission
because he heard about done before too. He's like, go take care of your brother
to prove himself.
Yeah. So you could do that and plus, like I mentioned last week, I'm thinking that this whole Imperium versus New Day storyline hopefully is leading to the return of Big E if he's healthy. If he's healthy, if Big E is 100% right now, and they're just building up the story until then, and Big E ends up being the challenger for Gunther, presumably at WrestleMania, that's a match where it's believable where Gunther losing the Intercontinental title is more believable than not, especially with Big E coming back.
Yeah.
The story
would rise. Imagine him coming back
if he's healthy though.
that's what I'm thinking. Like if Big E comes back at the Rumble, if they get the belt off Gunther. That sets him up to be in the main event going forward. Yeah. That'll be dope. But then you have Big E battling Ivar, Bronson Reed. Like, so that opens up that floodgate of big men battles in the great matches that we've been getting from those guys week in, week out. Even Tozawa and Ivar on Monday Night Raw was entertaining. I'm like, how the hell? Like, they put that together. Whoever's doing this booking, mid-card, is doing pretty good. And I think there's some stars there that they can establish, especially if Big E comes back. That will be crazy. Because we always been talking about, like, the Intercontinental title, whoever Gunther drops the title to, it has to create a star. But if he drops to an established star like Big E, who's been gone for a little while, that's a different...
Little while. It's been a long while.
Yeah, no, that's what I'm saying. It's been a long time. So that's
been 2 years or 1 year.
I think it's been a year because I know he didn't compete at last year's WrestleMania, Big E.
So it's been a little bit over a year.
Was he gone longer than Randy though?
I think at this point Randy was gone longer. I think we're reaching that point with Big E now where he's gonna pass Randy as far as timeout goes. But I mean, he had the neck injury, but he didn't get surgery. He's letting it heal naturally, whatever that process is. Like I said, last we heard, they said like he probably was like, I don't know what the percentage was, but he said that like he was feeling better. Not enough to get into the ring, but he was progressing along. But that was months ago, so we don't know.
I'm just looking at it from a standpoint. If Daniel Bryan can come back, if Edge can come back, especially from those type of neck injuries and stuff like that, he should be able to come back at some point.
Well, wasn't Daniel Bryan more concussions, though?
Yeah, he had concussions in the neck, and he had, like, everything. Yeah, I don't know.
Yeah, also, look at how long it took for Edge to come back.
Edge was the one with the neck issue, whereas he made everyone believe, like, anything's possible. Because, I remember that night when he came out and retired after that WrestleMania, and I really did think that was it. Like, there's no, because like, especially was it stenosis, spinal stenosis, whatever.
Yeah.
Oh, for Edge.
Yeah. Like we thought it was done.
Everyone thought that was done. So I mean,
and he came back and it's been like what, 5 years? Yeah. It's been like 3-4 years since he's come back and still wrestling. So we'll see if Big E can come back and make a dent in WWE, because definitely he's needed, and especially we miss Big E. We haven't seen him in a long ass time. And for somebody to actually challenge Gunther, it doesn't, if it's Jey Uso at this point in time and then he ends up losing and stuff like that, whatever direction they go, Big E can help with that. Definitely going forward.
And then if it's not Big E, specifically speaking about Gunther, if it's not Big E, then they need to create a moment in the Rumble with Brock Lesnar. And actually start building towards that match. I'm being serious. If it's not gonna be Big E and Gunther needs an opponent, we gotta go. They gotta go Brock. They have to at this point. Who else are you gonna have Gunther go against now? Because at this point now, I honestly starting to think that Intercontinental title is starting to become an anchor for him now, because it's like he's beating everybody. He has the record, and now, at this point, we just want to see Gunther going after the world title now, because there's nothing else to do but that.
But Brock Lesnar as the Intercontinental Champion.
I mean, I say he doesn't have to win, but at least
he needs to lose that IC title soon. But that's the thing. I feel like he still has like these great competitors. Like, I'm still a big Bronson Reed fan. Ivar has been very impressive.
Or you just put them all in a match. Exactly. That's probably the easiest way for him to draw.
Exactly. And I feel like, if you do a triple threat or whatever, easily any one of those guys could be. Because why am I forgetting? I feel like there's somebody else besides Ivar and Bronson. Wasn't there some? Oh, and Chad Gable. Like, you could easily do another. I mean, you don't want to do two fatal four ways, but like, I feel like
do it. We have better choreography now. Do it. I don't know why people don't like multi-man matches. It's just like,
I do. I think it keeps you guessing, but then a lot of times you're like, I think we kind of know which way they're going.
Like, when people keep like complaining about multi-man, I'm like, we can't focus on all the action. It's like, yeah, you can. That's why they have cameras. Yeah. like, come on, like, stop being lazy. Like, it's wrestling. Like, we need that type of, we need those type of matches, because you got a lot of guys now that are in the conversation. Like, you got a lot of guys that can easily be champions and easy win and talented enough to win.
Man, the more people you highlight, the more stars you build.
Yeah. Unless it's a stadium stampede match or anarchy in the arena, you can't keep up with that. I mean, whether you're live in the arena or you're watching it from home, especially when you're watching it from home, all them camera shots when they're going from one fight to the next fight, yeah, come on.
Well, there should never be anything like that again, in my opinion. I know it's their thing and their calling card, and it's kind of like their gimmick match, like it's their thing, like WWE has the Elimination Chamber or something like that, but it's like, no, it's too confusing. That's a little bit too much. I can only imagine if I was in Wembley when they did that match, and I'm sitting in the crowd and I'm not near the Jumbotron and I'm like in an angle where I can't see everything already. I can only imagine how it was for those people, but I'm pretty sure they figured out a way to enjoy it anyway. But
they loved it.
Looking at it from that point of just all the competitors that they can have in the match, and especially for Gunther, it's like, where you can't get one person to beat him, get multiple people to beat him. I feel like that's a good way to send him out, and he can use that as his way to go to the world title and be like, I was never beaten cleanly. I never lost my title. I'm still undefeated. Like, he can play up that easily. But as I said, the international tour next year, you got, I'm just looking at how Drew McIntyre is going to be booked. Gunther is going to be booked. Like, that international flavor, because they're going to France, they're going to Germany, they're doing everything. I think they're going to
Toronto. Right there.
They're going to Toronto. Like, I don't know. I don't know what they're going to do, but it's like, I don't know if they're ever going to break up Imperium or whatever they're going to do with that group and stuff like that, how they're going to go forward with that. But Luke Kaiser looks good right now, too. He's having a mean streak and looking good. So it's like,
yeah,
I don't know if they want to break them up, because it's like, they still, I feel like there's still something there with Imperium, and I feel like that can add to him in the world title picture as he goes forward, Gunther, as he challenges for the world title. Mm-hmm. But yeah, yeah, just looking around, it's just like the Royal Rumble is going to be interesting to see how it plays out. And especially from the SmackDown side, again, outside Bobby Lashley, everything's been kind of, they've kind of taken out LA Knight out of the Rumble, Randy Orton out of the Rumble, AJ Styles out of Rumble. So that's
three. All the top guys.
And I'm just,
I mean, hey, it's good that they're all.
I mean, do we know for sure that they're not going to be in the Rumble? Because there have been plenty of other years where, like, guys have had title matches and still ended up in the Rumble. I mean, there have been years where, like, Roman had a title match and then he was in the Rumble. Randy Orton too. So do we know that for sure that they're not going to be
done that?
They can only do that if the, like, that match goes on like first or something.
I remember Brock Lesnar doing it when he lost, and then he just came in and entered before WrestleMania 38 or something like that.
Yeah, before WrestleMania 38. That was that bullshit I called. I called on Facebook. What, you remember that? Did I not call? I called it on Facebook. Like, I said, like, yo, I swear, watch Brock Lesnar lose this title and then re-enter the Rumble.
Oh, wasn't it because, like, Paul Heyman negotiated
him into
the Rumble or whatever?
Yeah, like, I'm like, yo, they're hell bent on having this Brock and Roman match again.
It's happened more recently because Becky Lynch did it too when she lost her match against Ronda. Was it Ronda at the Rumble or is it Asuka? I can't remember.
Oh, but she lost the title and then
she came out
the same night.
Somebody got hurt. I can't remember. Somebody got hurt. I think it was Natalya or somebody. They took him out. It was the year she won. Now I can't.
That's not the one where she came back and beat Bianca, is it?
No. Damn it! Now I got to Google.
Yeah, I don't know.
I don't know what year it was, but. Because that was the year she won it. Wasn't she, like, hurt? Wasn't that the year where she was,
It was 2019. She lost to somebody. She got screwed or something like that. Hold on. Yeah, she lost to Asuka. She came in to the Rumble on some
Rebel stuff. Like she attacked someone and then entered the Rumble, or someone got hurt.
Oh, yeah. She took someone out. Wasn't it Dana
Lana came out, but then she was too hurt to compete, and then Becky Lynch took her spot.
Lana, that's what it was.
Oh, CJ. Okay.
Yeah, CJ Perry. For those watching at home.
Yeah.
So that was her angle. I was so mad because I'm like, come on. You just lost earlier. You can't be in the Rumble. But now it's gonna be interesting to see how that plays out, because that's definitely three major stars out of the Rumble that are not going to be in the Rumble. So it's like, who are you filling that with? Maybe some NXT guys. I know Bron Breakker definitely has to be in it. Carmelo Hayes has to be in it. Trick Williams has to. Like, they got to get some NXT people in there.
No, Trick Williams needs to be in this Rumble. Just so we get the entrance. No, just for the entrance alone.
That crowd will go nuts for that.
We need it.
And you gotta have Booker. Well, didn't they put it in the song now? And his son?
No, he's still doing the ad libs.
No, Booker still does the ad libs. Yeah.
And more than likely, he won't be on commentary for the Rumble. It's probably gonna end up being Cole Graves, and they're gonna get Jerry Lawler again, like they do every year.
Don't bring back Jerry Lawler.
Jerry Lawler will do the women's one.
But keep Jerry away, please.
No, Jerry needs to be on the pre-show. And that's it.
I can't stand Jerry Lawler's commentary at this point.
Love Jerry Lawler as a Hall of Famer, legend. Yep. commentary for a full hour? No, no. We don't need that at this stage. Without Jim Ross, no. That's the only way he can come back and announce. Like, if Jim Ross comes back with you, then you guys just tear it up from the back in the day. But nah. But yeah, yeah, very rarely has it happened, but it has happened where guys have been eliminated, have been beaten in the night in the world title picture and then get in the Rumble. So it's like, it's going to be interesting.
Well, that's what I'm saying. Because obviously the men's Rumble is probably going to be the last match on the card. Mm-hmm. I'm like, either the Roman's match is the first one or the match right before.
Whoa. Roman Reigns is not an opener match. He is the main event.
Those are the two main spots usually on the card. It's either the first match or the last match.
The first match is going to be Logan Paul, Kevin Owens, if they don't put a tag match.
No, if anything, first match is probably the Women's Rumble.
If anything, they're probably going to go, Women's Rumble.
If anything, Roman's match will probably be right before the men's Rumble.
But if they start with the men's Rumble again, then that means obviously Roman's main eventing, and then something big is going to happen again in this match. Because last year it made sense with Roman and KO main eventing, because that's when the storyline was at its hottest. So we knew that something monumental was bound to happen. Mm-hmm. This year not so much. So
yeah,
that's going to be interesting.
Just because I figured they'd want to end the card with somebody obviously pointing at the WrestleMania match and going off and be like, and this is your Royal Rumble winner, you know.
I don't know why they do that. We know the winner goes
to Rumble. For years.
Jillian Hall used to say it all the time. The winner gets the number one contendership at the WrestleMania. We know that. They've said that numerous times. They explain the rules, put the sheet up before the match. we know they go to WrestleMania.
It is all about business. It's about advertising. You advertise WrestleMania on TV with the individual who's going to be in the main event pointing at the sign. The commercials, the promotion. That's why they have people pointing at the sign every year. I got annoyed with it too until I realized from a business standpoint why they had them do it.
It used to be bad when it's for
advertising purposes.
I used to hate, like, at least when you knew somebody who was like, come on, okay, we get it. You're going to WrestleMania, like.
I mean, my whole thing was at least be unique when you point at the sign.
Everyone's
the same way. Like, that'd be me. I'd be pointing at the sign doing something like this, or like make it creative. Just pointing at it like it's nothing. Like,
yeah, we have to wait until Trick Williams wins.
Rhea Ripley did it. She pointed and like she did her little signature wave thing at it, so at least it was unique. So you said Trick Williams.
No, I mean, yeah, Trick Williams. And we gotta wait until Trick Willie wins. That's who we gotta wait until he wins the Rumble.
Trick Willie wins.
Looking at the Women's Royal Rumble, it feels like it's unknown. I feel like it's Bayley, but then with the recent actions of the Damage Control towards her, it's like they're probably going to prevent her from winning in some way or screw her out of it. So the Women's Royal Rumble looks open to me. I know people are favoring Becky Lynch winning, and I'm just like, I don't feel like she should win again. I don't feel like that's the route for her, even though they're trying to set up Mommy versus the Man.
Wait. They did build towards they did mention the Women's Royal Rumble on Raw with mm-hmm. the promo with Rhea Ripley and Becky Lynch. Becky Lynch did the clip, so they are starting to at least talk about it. I mean,
Nia's been mentioning the Rumble too,
and then Nia's mentioned it. But they probably don't mention it as much because I mean the Rumble sells itself at this point. I mean,
pretty much.
Mm-hmm. I mean, it is what it is. We know what the winner gets. We're gonna get some surprises. We're gonna get some of the same women on the roster. So
Molly Holly again.
That's another
thing. Dita is coming out.
This is the year for the Women's Royal Rumble. I don't remember if last year was that way or not, but the Women's Royal Rumble has been around long enough now where you only need like one or two surprises now. I know before when they first started doing it, they would have like maybe like 10 or 11 women coming back from the past, and that made sense because they were still building. It was a new thing, and obviously the women of the past didn't have the same opportunities. So you want to bring them back and let them in.
Yeah.
But now the Women's World Rumble has been around for like I want to say like 5 years now. This is like the sixth year of it doing it. You don't need to bring all those people back now. Maybe one or two of them for a pop, but women's division's done enough where you don't need as much anymore.
You know who's gonna win the Rumble this year? Trish. She had a last great performance. They're gonna give her the Rumble win.
And she's been training all this time.
You could probably do like 15 in the main, maybe like 10 or 15 in the main roster women, maybe like 10 women from NXT, and then
I think only like three women deserve to be from NXT. Roxanne Perez, Blair Davenport, and who's the champion?
Lyra Valkyria.
Lyra Valkyria. Those are the only people that should touch it, in my opinion. Lola Vice, I don't feel like she's built up enough as yet.
Well, I was gonna say Cora Jade before.
Yeah, but she just got tore ACL. She tore ACL.
Yeah,
ACL. She just came back too.
And she was just talking about that on Twitter. So it sucks.
The Tegan Knox syndrome. That is.
So those three that you named.
I feel like they might throw in more NXT women. Coming.
Charlotte's coming back, man.
If she comes back, then that injury was a lie.
You saw that. I saw her posting.
Yeah, but she's not coming back for the Rumble.
No, she's not.
The only reason I feel like they would throw in more NXT women just because they had that breakouts tournament. Mm-hmm. And, you know, obviously more people. I haven't been watching NXT, but obviously Nikita more people have been. Yeah, like I feel like they'll probably throw a couple more people out there who are like.
I mean, they're gonna have surprises. They gotta have surprises because
Naomi.
If Naomi's coming back, even though I think she's advertised for a match, on this Friday for Impact. I think she's
advertised. That's this coming Friday. That rematch with Jordynne Grace.
I think she's facing. I don't think it's with Jordynne Grace. I think she's facing somebody else. But I saw it advertised, and I'm like, if she's wrestling, like, is she going to turn? I know TNA has been loose with their contract and stuff like that, but I thought from Hard to Kill, I thought that was it because she was crying at the end and walking away and stuff like that. I thought that was it, but I saw something. I think she was advertised for Friday. I'm not sure. I got to check.
Yeah, she went on social media after. She went on Twitter after and like, alluded to a rematch. So
Yeah. So it's like – that's going to be interesting. I know they've been loose with there because with Mickie James, they did that. They let her go to the Rumble and stuff like that. Yeah. I think twice, multiple times. So, and I think she wore the Impact Championship out there. So,
yeah,
who knows what they're going to do with that.
I feel like she could be another, she might, well, I don't know. After her whole laugh thing, I don't know. Maybe she will come back or not.
Oh, the trash bag?
That was before her coming back with the Knockouts Championship.
Yeah.
That was
that was her literally last run in WWE with that. So yeah. When they did that.
John Moore and Ice ain't dead no more, though. So we got
Johnny Ace.
Yeah, Johnny Ace. Yeah.
He's so far removed.
Full of shit.
So far removed from it. It's funny. It's just funny to see how much power he had. And then, like, now he's not even around. But looking at it from that standpoint, we still got probably Sasha Banks, Mercedes Moné. Probably tentative to come back. I'm hoping that she comes back.
That would be huge.
I mean, I'll say this much. If she does come back, we as wrestling fans really need to analyze how much validity we put into these dirt sheet reports. I said that after CM Punk came back, as far as CM Punk goes, any dirt sheet report I read about CM Punk, I'm immediately thinking it's bullshit right now. Because you all said he wasn't coming. You all made it clear. CM Punk is not coming, therefore the fans shouldn't expect
it. There was so much back and forth. Oh, there's chats. No, there haven't been any discussions. Oh, there's this. There was literally nothing concrete, and it was just like...
I think WWE is figuring out a way to screw over the dirt sheets or pass out bad intel. or pass out bad intel, whoever's leaking the information. Because it's like, there's been a couple instances where the dirt sheets just don't know what the hell they're talking about. And everyone's kind of like, you guys don't know what you guys think you guys know with all this information that you're passing around. And that's when I think, Brian, you saw it on, I don't know if it was Instagram, where somebody posted, I forgot what it was. I think it was Drew McIntyre winning the title or something like that. And I was like, you guys are just now posting, like, I think it was Wrestling Inc. on their IG. They posted something about somebody winning the championship. And I'm like, you guys are just posting fake shit that hasn't happened. And now you got, like, that's what you guys are now doing, just posting rumors and making up stuff to make it so you guys know what you're talking about. And it's like,
well, if you think about it, they always got to keep writing stories. So it's like, if you're not just throwing out like, oh, there's rumors, it's like, well, what else are we going to talk about?
I get it, because it's a part of the game, right? Like, everybody wants to be ahead of things. People want to make up things. People throw out information and stuff like that. But it's just like, it's getting kind of annoying reading. Like Sportskeeda. Every single time I look at Sportskeeda, I'm like, you guys are just like throwing shit against the wall.
In a way, I kind of blame you for Sportskeeda, because because for the longest time you used to always share so many links, so many stories from it that I started following it so I could keep up. And now every time I see some shit from there, it just annoys me because they literally just put stuff specifically for clickbait. They really just want you to click on it, like sharing like, oh. Oh, WWE star turns up in AEW, and then you find out, oh, it's just Edge. Like, what the fuck?
I hate when they do that. Like, it's the worst. They're like, former TNA star attacks WWE star at, like, what? Like, huh? Like, hold on. Let me look it up.
It's stupid.
Let me look it up. Because I'm
Sports Key.
I do follow it. I thought I didn't follow it. But nope, I follow that page. Why do I follow this page? I get so mad reading their stories. I'm like, why are you guys like even posting some of this shit?
Yeah, bro, this clickbait for the sake of clickbait.
WWE star returns to attack.
just that.
It's just Aleister Black, who's already on the roster.
He just came back.
My bad, guys. But nah, the dirt sheets, man. It's gonna be interesting coming up Rumble, because you know they're gonna start putting out reports and stuff like that.
Yeah, I'm honestly gonna try and like stay off all that. I don't want to know nothing. But then Dan over here, hey, look at this article. Hey, look at this. This is the list for who's coming out. I'm like, why are you sharing these things? I don't want to.
I'm pretty sure WWE changed. I forgot I even shared that, but yeah, like I just got to stay away from that stuff because it's like, oh, that's dope. And, you know, like, some of the stuff is dope, but then it's like, nah.
Lewis, you gotta think of dirt sheets like how Denzel Washington's character thought of the newspaper in Training Day in the very beginning. Remember when he said this newspaper. It's 90% bullshit, but it's entertaining. It entertains me. That's how you got to think about the dirt sheet. That's what keeps you from getting like frustrated when stuff is posted that you don't want to see. You got to think of it like that.
Like even some stuff like What Culture Wrestling, when I follow that stuff on YouTube and stuff like that, I'm like, why are you guys chasing the dirt sheets? Like, you guys don't know, like, if.
Yeah.
Like that, because now even they're reporting on it because there's so much news that's being pumped out and they try to report on all of it, and it's just like, oh man. But moving on from WWE and the Royal Rumble, we'll talk about more of our picks next week. But did you guys see the Hook match? Did you guys check that out?
Yeah,
so I actually had it on in the background when the show started. I don't know if you guys heard me, but when you were queuing the show up, I was reacting to a spot where I guess apparently Samoa Joe gave a uranage to a Hook on the announce table.
Yeah, it
looked pretty bad. And then right after that, he powerbombed him onto the
ring apron. Yeah,
so Hook was down for a little bit, and I guess they were just telling this whole story of Joe pretty much beating the hell out of Hook, and Hook just not quitting. And I think Joe hit him with a muscle buster.
He popped back up like super quick. I'm like, nobody really comes back from that too quick.
Hook did that? Oh, come on.
Hey, he's lean. He's lean, right?
He has no muscle.
He got it from his old man. His old man used to do that shit in ECW all the time. I remember Bam Bam Bigelow powerbombed him and he just popped up. And I'm like, yeah. He got it from his own man. He do that shit all the time.
It's pumping through his veins, man. No, that's crazy. But just thinking about that, because I'm like, I didn't want that to get lost in the sauce, because Hook is getting an opportunity. Yeah. And, you know, and the whole Jinder Mahal thing with Tony Khan last week.
I mean, I feel like AEW is like in a rebuilding phase. I mean, like, you know, you got Joe as the new champion. You got people obviously going after the world title now. You got, I mean, I don't know how much further this thing with Hook is even going to go, or if this was just a one-time thing. But, you know, at the end of the match, obviously Hook wouldn't stay down, so Joe's like attacking him, and then Hangman came out to save him. But then you got Swerve in the crowd watching. So mm-hmm. It's like, you know, there's viable contenders, and, you know, it's not just like Moxley again. It's not just, I mean, obviously Kenny Omega's out, but it's not just like, you know, the same people like in the spotlight, suspect. You know? Because I'm really hoping, I want Swerve to, like, I feel like Swerve for sure deserves that title. Yeah. Just from the year he had last year, I think it was just spectacular. And
he definitely has stepped up into a main event role where it's like, yeah, you can't deny it anymore, you especially know,
you, you really can't.
And and that's another thing for AEW to put Swerve in that position and give him that shot and give him the ability to show what he can really do, like on that level.
Yeah,
that's crazy. Like that's a big win for AEW, and hopefully they continue to strike gold with that, because it's like his character, his heel work, it's like he kind of reminds me of like a young Triple H in WWF when he was trying to win and stuff like that, like how he just became so laser focused.
Yeah.
And like everything is to win that title. So hopefully that's the direction they go. And Hangman Page as well is a nice foil for him. As a person who's an AEW veteran, has been the gatekeeper essentially for AEW, for him to go back and forth with, especially with, we don't know the pathway of Adam Cole right now. In MJF, how long he's going to be out. We know Kenny Omega's out.
See, and that's the thing. And that's actually something that I realized last week. I think we had mentioned, because I know lately when we talk about AEW, it's been in a negative sense because of the actions of their owner. Or, but when you really think about it, I mean, they're the injury bug really bit them badly. Like, Ryan Danielson, MJF, Kenny Omega. You're talking about at least 10 top guys, 10 of their top guys, not on the roster right now.
Jack Perry tearing up his AEW contract.
Did Jack Perry actually leave?
He's in New Japan.
He's in New Japan. I think it's a part of a storyline. Been together, but it made me think, because I realized how much of their top guys are out, and it made me think like, yo, can you really like assess AEW right now because of all these guys are out? Maybe the way they're telling their stories, you can, but. Mm-hmm. But look, they're top guys.
With all the crap that I give AEW, the Continental Classic was pretty good. How they built up Eddie Kingston, like that was a good story. Swerve has been a good story. So I mean, there's some positives through the darkness for them.
This is why I'm like, then their roster is deep though. It's not like they don't have a plethora of wrestlers. It's like this is the time to create new stars, and I think. Mm-hmm. Kind of lean into this whole Hook thing. It's like, okay, you know, hey, he has the record. All right, if that's what you want to play, I don't think you should solely focus on the record, but it's just like, you know, whatever. It is New Year, whatever. Aren't records supposed to be like wiped clean or whatever? But it's like you got House of Black, you got Blackpool. I mean, yeah, you don't have Daniel Bryan, but you got Claudio there. Miro. Like, you know, it's just like use these guys. You got Miro. I'm like, bro, just. Get these guys in these.
Stop putting everybody in Jericho Society in Don Callis.
That's the thing. He's not even Jericho. He doesn't even have his own thing anymore. It's like Jericho's just kind of like honestly kind of putting people over at this point. I feel like obviously him tagging with Sammy just kind of like, you know, trying to elevate him, and who he just was talking to today. What's his name, Brian? I forget his name. He kind of looked like Dolph Ziggler's brother, but it wasn't him. It was
I saw the picture. He was talking to somebody.
It's some guy who I can't even remember the name right now, but it's obviously it's not a main top, but it's like, you know, this should be the opportunity to create new stars. Kind of like how Swerve has organically just been like being elevated. Like, give these guys like the opportunity to highlight and be strong. And then it's like, you know, once whatever feuds they're in, set up for the next thing. Like, I feel like House of Black should easily be like a top stable. But it's been so like roller coaster ish with them. It's just like, yo, they have the look, they have the power. Why are they not? You know, I don't want to see trios titles or tag titles. Like, give me like, I mean, yeah, probably tag titles, but like,
elevate that group.
They've had like the trios title, and it's like, okay, but it's like,
we know the trios title is just either for established stars or to give the stars that don't really have anything like a story wise to give them something to do.
Yeah. It's not the Acclaim has the trios titles right now, right?
They do, yeah.
Yeah. And who has the tag titles? Oh, it's Ricky Starks and Big Bill. Okay.
Which, by the way, that street fight that they had with Jericho and Ricky Starks. I mean, that's the only reason why I even watched Battle of the Belts, just to watch that one match. It wasn't even the main event. It kicked off the show. The main event was Orange Cassidy and Preston Vance for the International Championship. I didn't even bother. After the street fight was over, I turned it off because I'm slowly starting with AEW. It's slowly but surely starting to be just Dynamite from here on, because I stopped watching Rampage because Rampage was pretty much just a waste of an hour, and Rampage is one of those shows that you just have to be like when you guys went to go see Dynamite and you guys watched them taping Rampage. Yeah. Rampage is only good to watch if you're there live. So I gave up on that. And Collision, I'm really this close because this past episode. Like you said, like I was saying, you can really see now that because of the injury bug, it's really impacting them, especially on a Collision. But at the same time, you know, we named a couple of guys that we aren't seeing. Like Lewis, you mentioned Miro. Like, you would think, like you would think, seeing as though the injury bug has hit you guys as hard, that you would see more of him. Or
like, why isn't he going after the international title? Why isn't he going after the TNT title?
Or I wonder if his situation is just because of what's going on with CJ Perry, seeing that she ended up going back to the hospital for that same
That finger looks crazy.
That finger infection. Yeah. So his situation.
Still push him, man.
Yeah, but like, you still could have did at least like a little promo package on him or something. But
he's wasted. He's so wasted, and I don't get it, and I don't know why WWE didn't see it. Maybe it was just Vince McMahon being an idiot.
And he took whatever anything that I mean. His intro into the company was phenomenal, and then even to being in the whole Rusev Day, which should have been nothing, and he brought it up to not even just him and whatever
Adam English.
Yeah, Adam English like made that crap work, and then you had to go into the stupid Bobby Lashley stealing my wife thing. It's like, you guys did whatever you could to just bring anything down.
I was having a very good night until you mentioned.
I saw a post about it, so I have to ruin everybody else's day too, you know.
Because I specifically remember, Daniel, I think it was you that you posted a photo of a guy squaring up saying that if next week's episode of Raw doesn't show Rusev doing this, going after Bobby Lashley, you were going to have a problem.
It just doesn't make it. Like, Bobby Lashley had two of the worst storylines, him and Sami Zayn with the whole sister angle and his family shit. Which didn't make any sense.
That was Vince trying to humanize Bobby, which wasn't gonna work.
No.
Like, why did they try to humanize them?
They were trying to humanize that.
Why are you doing this? Like, we don't need that. But back to Miro. Yeah, he came out to WrestleMania, 31 on a tank, which was one of the craziest entrances ever. Mm-hmm. They had the soldiers, Lana leading the soldiers and shit like that. To just now, he's not even getting on AEW, and it's like, this guy's talented, he's a monster. Why isn't he
wreaking. Why is he specifically just on Collision? It's like, get this man on Dynamite, bro. Like, I don't know.
Is Collision even a separate brand still? Are they still doing that?
That was literally just for Punk.
Yeah, they are, because for instance, the main event of this last episode of Collision was FTR and Daniel Garcia versus the House of Black. Now, FTR hasn't been featured on Dynamite in a while. FTR I think they're the main feature of Collision right now with Bryan Danielson and everybody out. So. Mm. Yeah, I don't know.
What are they fighting for?
Exactly.
Not a damn thing. I mean, they're literally in this feud with the House of Black, and the whole basis of the feud is the House of Black just wants to House of Black attack them to remind them that nobody supports them. Nobody wants to help FTR. That's the whole basis of the feud. Mm-hmm. Now Daniel Garcia has jumped in, so now it's like, why exactly are you guys fighting again? I mean.
Yeah,
Daniel Garcia joining them.
I mean, apparently there's a history there. I mean, Daddy Magic Matt Menard, because apparently now he's on commentary every time Daniel Garcia has a match now.
Yeah, why is that? I don't understand that.
Because I guess apparently he's funny. He's entertaining. He kind of is. I mean, you listen to his voice, the way he says certain things. I mean, it can be funny, but
good job,
AEW. Come on, guys, like, come on. I figured there would have been something better there for them, but
apparently because his partner Angelo Parker is in a relationship with Ruby Soho, so that's a storyline that's playing out on TV.
So. Mm. Gotta give them more storylines, I guess. Now it's even working those now. Yeah. Man, that's crazy. But AEW, get your shit together. You got a big show coming up. The Young Bucks versus Sting and Darby Allin, apparently.
The Young Bucks, they had an interview with Renee on Dynamite, and apparently they've introduced the new characters. Now it's not Nick and Matt anymore. It's Nicholas and Matthew, and they're kind of tying into the whole EVP thing. So now they're trying to be a little more formal. They're wearing suits, and in the promo Matt Jackson was pretty much trying to explain what AEW was intended to be to what it is now, and this is the reason why they're taking their jobs more seriously now.
I
was watching it the whole time, and I'm just like, oh, okay. So this is the direction that you guys are going. You guys signed NDAs, right?
Basically.
I mean, that's what I'm saying. That's exactly what I was saying. You guys signed NDAs, right? Because this could easily go in that direction.
I mean, it just has me thinking that they're doing the whole Jericho thing. Remember when Jericho came back and he was like, I'm not going to do the rock and roll thing and I'm going to dress in suits.
Yeah.
Proper, and he won the title and stuff like that. So probably that whole spiel. But I mean, especially for them who haven't really had a different character development change in that regard. I mean, that's pretty good for them. I feel like that's a good way for them to go try to be snobs and shit like that.
Yeah.
I'm fine with that. But yeah, man, hopefully AEW can get their shit together, man. That'll be it for this episode of Ring Takes. We'll be making our picks next week, having a special guest on next week's show, which will be interesting to see how that goes. Big CM Punk fan. He's been to a bunch of shows, pictures galore of him at pay-per-views and stuff like that. So that's dope. Different aspect to the show. And we'll see what will happen towards the Royal Rumble, because it'll be after Raw. So we'll definitely have more of a clear-cut picture of who's in the Rumble and what's going on with Seth Rollins, especially heading towards the Rumble. But as always, thank you guys for joining me. And until next time.